It's Tuesday night and time to talk Shadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows.
We are still in communication with a few schools, trying to see if there's an opportunity there to be able to make it work out where their open week's the same as our open week. There's also, you know, still an option for the spring. There's going to be some RMAC teams that are playing in the spring. Now it's really focusing on putting in that game plan, ironing out the few wrinkles that we have. And, you know, we've been practicing for a long time, so you got to also add some things in there that are fun to do, maybe some trick plays, those type of things.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
It's the Jay Long Show. CSC head football coach Jay Long joining me here today in the studio to talk Eagle football once again on our Tuesday night. You can also listen on the podcast as well at panhandlepost.com and download it for free on our podcast app. Coach, good to have you in the studio as we get ready to visit. Number 14 team in the country on Saturday. Colorado Mines always a very difficult opponent. They get the win in Golden 34-7. Now a few days have gone by and got to watch the tape, kind of digest a Saturday. What are your main takeaways from the game in Golden?
Yeah, you know, I think first off, just Dave, you know, on Saturday after the game, I was really, really emotional. I was hurt that we lost, and those don't always equal great interview sessions on Saturday. And I always try to be positive after game and find things that, you know, of certain players that did really well and those type of things, and I didn't do that, and I apologize to our listeners that listen all the time to me, and the ones that listen all the time, they know how I normally act on a game, win or lose, and my emotions, you know, were pretty high on that day. But when you go back and you watch film, you know, I guess the first thing it shows is that, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is. I'll dive into a little bit the first half here in a second, but really, you know, the main takeaway is that in the second half, we played really well in the second half against a top team. Colorado School of Mines has been ranked as high as third in the country this year. They've only got one loss, and they lost, you know, by a really, really close game to Mesa, and, you know, at Mesa. So, you know, when you look at it, that's what we need to build off of, is that second half. That's the way I truly felt the game was going to go, you know, as when we went into the game.
Well, it's great that you have that second half and you saw a lot of positive things that you can build and move forward, Coach. And, you know, in our post-game talk, I know you just kind of visited about some of the things that the direction you normally go. But one thing I do want to just follow up with you is kind of that sense of urgency. Yes. And the emotion and things early on. You said that you kind of thought there'd be a little bit more of that before the game. You had the good feeling. But as you look back, do you still feel like the team maybe came out a little bit flat or just different from what you thought going in?
You know, I don't know if the word's flat. I think it was just a mental block. When you look at our week of practices, we had a good week of practice. I thought, you know, when we traveled, our bus did break down, but it turned into a positive. It was a factor in the game, but it wasn't a reason why we came out like we did. You know, I think that our team went out because our top players did not execute like they've done over the past year, and I think that we were playing a team that was at their place and a really good team that's been ranked as high as third, and our guys went out there, I guess, I always, you know, simulate things like a fight, and we went out there and we're like, all right, can we take these guys as punches? And they punched us, and we gave up points. And it was offensively, we went three and outs. We weren't in sync. Then we brought the special teams out. Our special teams didn't. We didn't punt worth a dang. And we shanked two punts. Then our defense had poor field position, and we didn't tackle real good right off the bat. And we spotted them. And then all of a sudden, it was just like that fight. Like, well, we've just taken some punches. We can take them. Now let's go fight back. In the second half, we came out. We fought back. It was a game like what you would think. A team that has a really good defense. Our offense found some things that worked. Our offense had, you know, struggled on some drives. Defensively, we settled in. We stopped the run. We had long fields. Our special teams started, you know, changing the field position. And it was a 7-7 game in that second half. And, you know, what we learned from it and things that we got to build from it is that we got to go out, and it doesn't matter who we're playing. That 1-0 mentality, which is, simply put, it doesn't matter who we're playing. Doesn't matter what they're ranked. It doesn't matter matter who they are. We just got to go out and put all of our effort into that one rep. And then after that one rep is done, then we got to go into that next rep. And we just got to keep putting together a game like that. And, you know, Dave, when I talked to you on Saturday morning, in my gut, my feelings were we're going to go out and it was going to be like that second half that what it was. That, you know, I either thought we were going to lose 21-20 or we were going to win 22-21.
Yeah.
Because right after the first touchdown, I was going to run our two-point conversion. And if we got it, then I thought we were going to be in great shape. If we weren't, we're going to have to, you know, figure out a way somewhere in that game. And we just did not play like we needed to play in that first half. And I don't think it was a lack of effort. I don't think it was a lack of emotion. I think it was just a lack that was a really big game. And I think we just mentally, we just had that block. And, you know, when you look at our year, you know, there have just been some lapses in games at certain times, and it's really affected us and cost us. And that's what we got to build off. And that's what we got to make sure that it does not happen these last two games.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of crazy when you look at the mental side of playing football and teams that can really use that as an advantage, not just X's and O's and talent and coaching, but they've got that kind of mental advantage over other teams. And, you know, when they're 31-4 in their home stadium now, they've got that over a lot of people in that new stadium down there in Golden. And I'm really glad you guys were able to find some positives in that second half to start building for this next game. And there were some other individual areas inside the game that you can really build on. And let's move into that, Coach. Jay Long with us on Tuesday. Let's look at Here's a new receiver that you brought in this year. He has a great body for that position and unbelievable athleticism. He makes this incredible touchdown catch in the second half. I'm still calling it a touchdown catch, even though they didn't call it one. Went up, he high-pointed the football. To me, it almost looked like Tavon Wright kind of out there, similar type of player. Unfortunately, it was ruled out of bounds, but man, did he have a breakout game. That was excellent to see, and hopefully in the next couple, he can keep building with his future.
You know, offensively, I thought, you know, there was really three guys that I thought stood out and played, you know, four full quarters, and Alante was one of those. He was a guy that is a transfer. He doesn't know who Carl School of Mines is. He just knows that he had an opportunity to play, and he's been sitting out some games because of he had to sit out because of, you know, the protocol and that type of stuff, and he finally is getting that opportunity, and he was excited about it. He took advantage of the opportunity, and yes, that catch, I feel like it was one also after watching on film, but on Saturday it was not. But he made a huge catch, and it's something that he can build upon and something that he can, you know, build confidence on. He also blocked very well, and also his brother played. His twin brother had a really good game, but he stood out. I thought Juan Estrada played one of his best games as an Eagle, and he's put together two really, really strong weeks, and he's had a real solid season, and he's a guy that, you know, needs to continue as we go down the stretch. And then Jaden Cox, I thought on offense, played really well also. And, you know, when you look at that one play, that one play in the game that you're talking about was, you know, those are judgmental calls by the officials, and they're 50-50. They could go one way or the other, and that one was one that I think was one that could have maybe changed the game.
Yeah.
The second one was in the first quarter when Dalton was scrambling around, and he threw the ball right at the, I don't remember the yard line, I'm going to say it was 25, but it was our 25-yard line, and he threw it, and his heel was on the 25-yard line when he threw, is what we feel from film. It was a big pass to Chad. Chad caught it, provided a spark play. That would have changed field position. At worst, even if we wouldn't have got another first down, we maybe could have possibly tried a field goal, or we could have at least punted him and had a long field for Carl School Mines. However, that was ruled as a pass line scrimmage, and that affected the game big time. And then I think the third judgmental call was when they got a punt return, a big punt return on us. That kid caught it. We felt like he stepped out of bounds, and when he caught it, and that should have rolled it dead there, and they didn't, and he got a big return off of it, and, you know, ended up, they flipped the field on that play. So, you know, those three judgmental calls all went in favor of them, and 50-50s, and we needed just one of those plays to be able to go our way, and I think that could have helped with momentum. That could have changed things in regards to giving us something, which we talked about with that mental block, to be able to build upon.
Yeah, boy, that play to Chad was just such a huge throw downfield and looked like a great one. And Dalton right there, so close, and they called it an illegal forward pass, as you said. You know, those big plays, it's amazing. One play can really flip momentum in a game. And we talked about Alante. You brought up his brother, Javonte, twin brother as well. That folks, if you may not know, Alante and Javonte, new to the program, they are twin brothers, one offense, one on defense. And Javonte got a ton of playing time in the game. And, you know, as the game kind of unfolded, I realized, hey, we haven't seen Jeremiah Gutierrez out here. Normally you're starting corner and a senior. So, you know, Javonte got a lot of time. No Jeremiah. What can you tell us, you know, about how Javonte played and how your secondary looks right now?
Yeah, Jeremiah, last week we had a discussion, and, you know, he's no longer with us. And you know, those are, you know, personal things and between me and him. And we wish him the best luck. His is in his senior year. He's going to finish his degree and provide an opportunity, like you said, for Javonte. And Javonte did a great job of going out and executing, and you know, he was another one that was, like I said, provided some sparks, made some big plays, both those two guys have at least 3 to 4 more years left with us. So I guess 3 more years with us. So that's also exciting.
Yeah, that's great. And wish Jeremiah all the best. He provided a lot of good big plays and some good defense back there in your secondary. And Javonte, nice to see him step in and take over when needed and build his career forward. How about up front on the defense, Coach? Kean Martin back on that defensive line after an injury, sidelined him for several games. He's had a couple good ones in a row. And man, on Saturday, 9 tackles and a sack. And he just, when he grabs onto somebody, he does the old Cale Julis, just kind of sits down. Yeah. You can't get away from Kean or Cale, and man, Kean was awesome Saturday. Fun to watch.
When you looked at what when we played Carlsco Mines in 2019, they literally ran up and down on the field on us. And when we talked about changing our defense this year, looking at something that, you know, that we felt could help prevent and stop the run, it worked on Saturday. Whenever Carlsco Mines had a full field to march, you know, we stopped them, and I thought that, you know, Kean played outstanding. And when you look at that, 4 nose to have 9 tackles and a sack, that's really big. I also thought that that Brendan Hopkins, you know, played a good game. We are banged up on the D-line. Cale Julis also was productive. I thought Gabe Perkins had a good day with things, and then Whipple did a good job also, you know, filling the run. But when you look at the D-line, we are a little banged up there, and it was good to see Kean come back when he did, because Kean was banged up early in the season, and he had a really big day on Saturday, so that's something that he also can build upon.
We'll dive into some more health and injuries here in a moment, Coach, and you're already thin at linebacker. Joey Guile, though, he's kind of stepping right in. He looks like sort of that next be-everywhere guy that could be in on any given tackle, and, you know, 10 or more a game as his career evolves as well. I feel like I called 41 all day on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I guess he, you know, has really, really, you know, done had a great year. You know, in our nickel package where we have only 3 down D linemen, Joey's been getting a lot of reps all season. And as soon as Jeremiah Mockett went down, you know, he had an opportunity to increase that role. And, you know, he's taken the best advantage of it. And when you look at our linebacking core and the consistency, those three positions has been very, very consistent with Travis and Noah and Amaka before he got hurt. And then Xavier Harrell has also done a really good job stepping in and doing his opportunities to be able to change games with things too.
Coach, we're going into week 10, and it's always unfortunate, but injuries this time of the year, they're piling up. We mentioned it going into last week. You already talked about some of the D-line here, and it looks like you've got guys that are banged up and may not be there this weekend, but as the week moves along, hopefully you'll get some guys back. Where can you take us on, you know, Taven Bray, Xavier Harrell, Elijah Miles?
You know, it is that part of the season where guys do get banged up. We're missing numerous defensive starters, you know, from when we started the year to where we're at now. The names you just said, you know, Taven Bray, we're still hopeful that he'll be able to play in one of these last 2 games. Xavier Harrell, we're also maybe hopeful for the last game. I don't think he's going to be able to play this game. And then Elijah Miles, I think he's probably at a point where he maybe the last game, but more than likely, I don't know whether or not we're going to see him this year.
Okay.
There with that, like I said, Jaden Cox is done a great job stepping up, and our two running backs have done a really good job stepping up. And when we talk about Bray, that's that opportunity for those D linemen to be able to make different opportunities. But it is those. It's unfortunate for those three. I hate it. It stinks when you have guys that have put in as much effort as they've put in to lose games. Because when you look at football, we have 11 opportunities to go out there and play. And if you miss 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that's almost, it's over, I guess just under 30% of our games. And if a basketball player misses two games or three games, there's still so many more games they get to play. Or if a wrestler gets hurt, they can get into 30, 40 matches. And if they miss a weekend, they just miss three or four matches. And, and with football, it is so, you miss so much, and I just hate it, but it is part of it.
One of the, maybe silver linings that comes out of an injury situation is, you talk about Emmett Rosentrader during the season. He's a guy from Paxton, Nebraska. A lot of us out here remember him with the Tigers, and he's been a backup now on the offensive side after beginning his career on defense. Well, there's some opportunity maybe that Emmett gets to go out there, play a little two-way offense-defense style these next couple of games, and so you've got a reserve there who might get a chance to get on the field a little bit more, and a local guy.
Yeah, Emmett's an Eagle. There's without a doubt, if you ask the team, to pick Eagles on our football team, they would say Emmett's an Eagle. And he had the opportunity last year when we were running a little short on the O lineman to move him over. He got to play a ton in the spring football games, and then this fall he's been in numerous games. And now with us getting short on D line, he makes the most sense. And he's gonna have an opportunity to be able to play on the O line or the D line this weekend, which is really cool. It's also a good opportunity for him to be able to get more reps for him during his senior year. So really proud of Emmett. Like I said, he's a kid that young guys should try to emulate. He just works every single day, never complains. He just works, and he tries to improve his role every single day. And just really think highly of him.
Coach Jay Long on the weekly Tuesday night Jay Long show and the podcast today. Let's go to the Hammer Award, the weekly special teams honor that the team votes on. And this week, Coach, who's going to get the Hammer Award?
This week we had two nominees, both linemen, offensive linemen, which are really cool. Justin Calderon and Juan Estrada. Juan Estrada blocked an extra point. Justin Calderon got his hand on two of them. The missed field goal Justin affected. Those were all part of it, why Justin got not voted for the Hammer. The second reason, and it was on the big punt return that we just talked about, there was a judgmental call.
Yeah.
For those of you guys were listening on the radio, I'm sure you heard the emotion in Dave's voice, but Justin ran down a punt returner, and I can tell you that doesn't happen very often when an O lineman has the speed and to be able to run down a punt returner, and he literally saved it from being a touchdown. So his effort there was an Eagle effort, and the team recognized that and gave him the Hammer this week. Also, to go along with that's I think Juan Estrada's second field goal or extra point he's blocked on the year. I think that puts him at 4 or 5 in his career, and that's gotta put him up there as one of the career most blocked kicks in Shatter State history, which is also a pretty neat experience.
Yeah, we'll have to check on that, and he's got some time left here as well with the Eagles, so he may end up setting that. And that play with Justin was incredible. The speed he showed to run that guy down, I'll never forget that play. It was very cool. And so Calderon's running the Hammer out at the start of the game, fans, when you're up here on Saturday to watch CSC take on Western Oregon. And that's where we'll finish up for tonight, Jay. Western Oregon coming here this week. Unfortunately, we couldn't go up there last year because of COVID. But happy that they're going to be coming down. We get to see these guys, a brand new team, a fun non-conference matchup. Two really hungry teams to finish the season strong, it looks like here.
Yeah, I'm excited to go play them. If this was, if we were in the Division I, NCAA Division I, you win six games, you're in a bowl game. game. And that's, you know, what our mindset is right now. We need to finish off this year strong. We need to go out and play every play, like we know we can, and go out and execute. And, you know, we've got a real fun one here with Western Oregon, a team we've never played before, a team that plays in a different conference, and, you know, another opportunity to play at home. And it's also our senior day, which is also a special day because we have a lot of seniors that will be playing their last time on Elliott Field. And, you know, we want to make sure that we can give them the best experience we possibly can.
Coach, I know it's early in the week and you focus a lot on those RMAC games. Is there much of anything you've noticed, I guess, here early on about Western, or any kind of a little scout or pre-game kind of tease on the Wolves that you can tell our fans about? Or are you? I know you're diving heavy into that the next few days for sure.
Yeah, you know, we're going, you know, we've been watching film on them right now. We have four films on them. They played right off the bat, Colorado School Mines, Central Washington two times. Central Washington's kind of there. I guess they're right now leading their conference. There's only three teams in the conference, but Central Washington is leading that. Then they played West Texas really tough. They beat West Texas at home. So, like I said, I just think it's going to be a really fun game. They're going to, you know, run a defense that's four down and three down, like what we've seen, you know, from some of the other teams in our conference. And offensively, they're going to try to run the ball and, you know, throw it deep. So, you know, when we're looking at things, comes down to we need to go out and execute our game plan and have some fun and get back to playing ball like we know how to play ball.
Yeah, always fun to see these brand new teams and see how they play out in their conference, different area of the country. Coming to Elliott Field to take on the Eagles on Saturday. Can't wait for it. That's Coach Jay Long on our Tuesday night weekly Jay Long show and the podcast as well. Coach, appreciate the insights. Thanks so much. We'll visit with you again on Saturday before kickoff.
Thanks, Dave. Go Eagles.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268.
Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.